The Dumbfellas Podcast was recorded live at the Brown Bear Pub at 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange, New Jersey. Our theme song is Root Beer Station, used with permission by the band Dancer. For more information on them, just go to www.dancer.bandcamp.com. For more information on the Dumbfellas, just go to facebook.com/dumbfellas.
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Dumbfellas Radio Podcast. You're joined by your five favorite comedians, and we are happy to have you guys back.
Somebody had a shot.
We're going to have fun.
Somebody had a shot. Who's
that? Someone is Natty. Natty had a shot, so he might be out of control tonight.
Where did he have a shot, Rich?
Oh. Right in the poop. Hey, listen.
Hey, no.
At the bar.
Beautiful Brown Bear Pub in beautiful West Orange, New Jersey. Come on down and do some drinks and have some fun.
No, this is the best one yet.
Okay. We are recording live in front of a studio audience right here at the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange.
A studio audience of kittens.
Meow. Quick thank you to our friends over at the band Dancer for their song Root Beer Station. That's the theme song of the Dumbfellas.
Yeah, we forgot to thank them the last two episodes, but now we are thanking them for serious.
They're really good guys, so I want to support them. A lot of good tracks. We'll support them and Brown Bear Pub. That's how I operate.
And I support you guys.
Natty supports us emotionally.
Yeah.
Thank you, Natty.
And technologically.
So you got your five favorite guys here. I'm Big Rich. We got...
KP Burke, happy to be here, guys.
Oh, hi, guys. I'm Natty Bumperk. I'm sitting next to KP again. It's like we have assigned seating.
KJG in the building. Kevin Joseph Garifo. The Barsha.
Prince of West Orange.
And I...
Mr. 50-Bow.
I'm Joe Corny.
You're going to punch me?
Stay tuned, people. Stay tuned. Here it comes. The wheels on the bus come falling off. Falling off.
Oh, my God. They told me it was cinnamon.
I have to drive home.
Natty did have a shot of alcoholic beverage tonight.
Guys,
I'm going to drive into a bridge.
Listen,
a 40-proof shot. But
I want to be very serious for a second here and make you guys understand that we're in a bar, and a lot of the stuff that they serve from behind that bar might be alcoholic.
Well, you got four alcoholics here at the table, so we're going to figure that out eventually.
Wait, which one?
Kevin's wife.
I'm going to say it's all of us.
So, guys, how's it going anyway? Welcome to the Dumbfellas.
This is it. Yeah, we didn't even introduce the name of the
show.
I don't talk like that.
I told you it's two episodes ago.
Garden State Comedy presents Dumbfellas.
Dumbfellas, and where else can we find us?
Find us on the Shining Wizards Network. That is shiningwizardsnetwork.com, host of a million great shows. Including
or six.
That's a good point.
Or when we get on there, one.
Literal. Was that literal? That was theory. Yeah.
100.
Yeah.
50.
It's a
million.
It's a lot.
We're not, no radio beef is what he's saying.
It's. We'll take them all down. We'll take them all out. We'll take them all that's up. We'll take them all about.
So anyway.
So we're excited. We're going to tell you guys what we've been up to. Actually, I had a great weekend because Adam Lucidi, who is... I think
rest
our favorite
peace.
Comedian.
Friend
and
of the show.
Friend
of the
show. Friend of the show.
God, I just love him so much.
He did not pass away. He moved to Texas. He stayed with me for a couple nights. I had
same
Adam
have you
on my couch.
To 6th Street?
Wait, so this is I want to find out more. How is it to have an Adam Lucidi stay in your house?
It's not like Adam Lucidi on stage.
Well,
Adam Lucidi on stage is like, hey, tell me, we're going to do this auction style. One, two. What channel do you want to watch?
You got Tater Tots, want to judge Judy, and Tater Tots.
Well, that's, I'm assuming
we did watch Judge Judy.
Rich does have two kids in his house, so I'm assuming you didn't have to buy any different food for him.
No, because he ate Lunchables.
Yeah.
True story, he did have grilled cheese for lunch one day.
My bologna has a first name.
It's Lucidi.
Hey, where do you guys keep your Capri Suns?
It's Forrest.
I did, I'm like, there's food in the fridge, but more importantly, in this closet, we keep the little bags of chips and cookies.
Are we out of Ecto Cooler, Rich? Do we not have Ecto Cooler in the house?
He gave me a case of that for Christmas one year. So you guys just shut up. He's my friend.
St. Lucidi, man.
Having him there was a
blast.
You
guys
want
to make popcorn and macaroni and cheese?
Aww. I can't
oddly,
wait for his wedding.
This is a true story, by the way. There was a couple of gigs that I've heard stories about where every comic ate shit. I legitimately believe that Adam Lucidi is bomb-proof. because every comic I know on the show, a lot of them are pretty accomplished guys, mm-hmm. and they all agree that Adam's the only one who got anything out of the crowd.
Yeah.
So Adam Lucidi is bomb-proof.
It's annoying.
No one else at this table is bomb-proof.
No one is. He's annoying in that. Like, because everybody loves him. He gets on stage, and he calls people Donkey Kong, and then it just goes.
People love him as soon as he steps on the stage.
The second he's up there, he touches the mic.
He doesn't say nothing. He goes, hey. People are like, oh, this
well,
is my
the upper
daughter.
Body strength to Judge Judy.
Well, it's because they're wondering why that sixth grader is up there on stage.
Well, I met him in this very bar that we're at right now, and he actually called me Donkey Kong.
The Brown Bear Pub? Wait, he called you were Donkey Kong?
I was Donkey
night?
Kong the first time
you
I met him.
Be Donkey Kong?
I was Donkey Kong. I went up to him afterwards and said, hey, man, how are you? I'm from Jersey. I just moved back home. I shook his hand. He handed me his little tiny business cards.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
Those?
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, those so are from
he handed me one
Moo.
Of those.
.com.
Yeah. Oh, for real?
Yeah.
From what? All right.
Are they paying for the plug?
Oh, they're from a website that we are not mentioning until they give us cash money. Uh-huh.
Well, not for nothing. that's the same night that I met Big Rich McDonald. I would meet you at Tierney's later, and then I met Joe at one of the shows
Me?
Here.
You gotta mention names.
But the important thing is that night, truthfully, the reason I'm friends with all these guys is because of Kevin Joseph Garifo.
KTT.
His other podcast, The
Thanks
Shining.
A lot, Kevin.
Now, my favorite thing, meow, this meow. Is my favorite part of all this, is that when I got here to the bar that night, I came with my buddy Nate. We came to support the show, and we sat right up front. And I remember paying. We paid money to be a part, to sit in the audience on that show. And
for comedy?
I walked up to Garifo, and I said, hey, man, how are you? Dude, what's going on? And he goes, oh, you're KP. So we finally like, made each other. Then I walk away. I sit outside. And then Rich actually told me years later, that Rich went up to Kevin right after that interaction, and he goes, hey, who are those guys? And Kevin goes, oh, just like fans of my podcast.
My favorite thing about this podcast.
But it's accurate.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, he was blitzed.
Probably.
My favorite thing about this podcast is going to be like all the conversations that we had individually are now going to come out, and we're going to be like, so I remember this one time Joe said this thing about KP, and then this is going to be amazingly uncomfortable.
Right. I don't know if I ever did.
Yeah, you said you liked him. You said he was a great comic. Remember
I don't
that?
Think I've ever said anything other.
Exactly. See what?
Don't know.
Then I didn't say to his face.
So, hey-o. Joseph, how long have you been doing comedy?
Well, I got my start opening up for bands down the Jersey Shore about... what
for who?
For bands down the Jersey Shore, down
you
to Long Beach.
You did comedy before bands? Those are the worst gigs ever.
I know. I was the opening act for Jersey Shore bands. King Richard. brother.
The King Richard?
King Richard, yep.
Wait, is that what you call him now?
No, that's our name drop bell, by the way.
Name
that's
drop
happens.
Bell.
That's what Rich says. That's what Joe says.
I'd say, what am I, 44? You wouldn't believe it, but about 23 years ago I started.
Shut up. Really?
Yep.
No, seriously, shut up.
Please.
Really?
Yeah.
What were your worst shows ever?
We're talking about bombing.
I have bombed. I have eaten dog shit Parmesan. I probably bombed more than I've done well, but I've bombed some pretty good ones.
Because
but
before
actually,
bands,
the
especially.
One that, the one that's cringeworthy actually is actually when I was kind of successful was my worst bomb, actually.
What? What does that mean?
Well, the ones that I did down the Jersey Shore, I was just a drunk kid that was opening up for like his friend's band, and then other bands like, you want to do it for us too? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I just told
Jersey Shore.
I just took jokes and turned them into stories, and I was a hack and I was awful and it was just terrible.
Well, so were you doing like crowd work in front of band people?
You guys know, take every joke you ever told that not as a comic, but like jokes you tell in a bar or in high school, and I just made them into my stories. Like, it was just, it was awful.
So what is...
The worst one I ever did. The worst
I want to hear
okay,
the
I'll
worst.
This was actually not too long ago. Not back then. But the worst one that I can tell you cringeworthy was actually... Does a comedic audition count? Can I bomb it? Because that's what this is. Or do you want to
sure
know stage?
No,
yeah,
I'm sure you
I'm okay. sure you
So I was
yeah.
down in... I auditioned for Disney. For Disney Productions. And what they did is they had a casting call for their television shows,
the
movies.
Beauty, right? The Beauty?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went down to Disney. I booked my show. I booked my flight for Friday morning, and I booked a return flight for Saturday morning, not thinking I was going to make it past the first auditions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Friday, I wait in this line, and I go down, and they give you a script you have to memorize, and I decided to do all my voices and everything in this script. So
if anyone is this their first time listening, Joe is the man of thousand voices?
A couple thousand. Four, 5,000.
I was going to say 83.
83? Yeah. Okay, roughly.
83 is a good number.
Dozens.
And we'll tell the story. We'll
the
tell
man of a
tens and tens of voices. Voices. So the script was, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are the World Showcase Players, and welcome to Epcot Center. Today we're going to do a show for you today that is the story of Romeo and Edna, a sad but true lamenting tale, and it goes on through this whole thing. So I put Groucho Marx in there. I did a little Groucho. I did a whole bunch of things. I did. I threw some Tony Soprano in there, where they had a whole bunch of everybody else that auditioned for this role was doing Shakespearean. Oh. We are the world, and they all did that. And I was like, So I killed it, right? I killed
yeah.
it, and they said, Joe, what a breath of fresh air. The girl says, actually, she says, we want you back on Monday. We're going to have producers for a couple of television shows for Disney and two of the movies that we're going to be doing. And we want you to do this for them on Monday. I was like, thank you. I would love to. So I change my flight. I stay the whole weekend. I go back Monday morning and I do it and I kill it even more. So I do really well. Right. So,
yeah, this sounds like a real bomb.
Yeah, listen,
this is sounds horrible.
No, it gets good.
Do you know what a bomb is like?
It's so humiliating.
Listen, yeah,
living my dream.
You're gonna cringe.
I'm ready.
Okay. To, so they said, "All right, Joe. Pretty important. Can you tell us what brought you here and how you your comedy got you to this audition today?"
Uh-huh.
And I said,
"I hate immigrants."
What I should have said was, "Oh, you know, I tell a lot of stories about my mother and you know, growing up and do some voices and I'm involved with improv." But what I did was I stared at six producers and went, My wife told me that since I was laid off, now's the time and go give it a shot and go get yourself famous. So I packed up everything I had, and I'm just a plumber from Jersey, and this is my dream come true, and I'm so glad to be in front of you guys, and I can't stop crying.
I wonder if they felt moderately as uncomfortable as we all do right now.
I'm sweating. I'm so back in that moment right now, and I'm staring at six people cross-eyed and looking at each other going, what just happened? He's having a grand mall.
Jackson.
And I literally went, I had the hands. I'm like, my wife has so much pride in me, and she loves me and knows that I can do this.
Everybody listening to the podcast, you'll quickly.
If I was the king of the forest.
Let's put the lion in an uncomfortable situation. Maddie, I hate you.
Is that why? Did you marry Kat because you could be like, oh, you like cats? Your name is Kat. Well, what do you think of this one?
All right.
Like Kevin just woke up.
I married her because the Lion King was taken.
Oh. Here's what I'll say. I knew. Look at Joe. KP's breathing hard. I knew Joe when this happened.
Ew.
I knew when he told me he was going down.
I canceled a gig at Tierney's that Sunday night.
Yeah, he called me from Florida.
Pat
actually said, hey, why don't you fly down? I'll see if I can get you an audition as well. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And
because he was a big man on campus at that point.
We didn't know. He's like, I'm back. He goes, Kat's already looking for a place for us to live down here.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Oh.
And then
oh,
they called me over the weekend. They're like, we really like that, man. You were really good.
Oh.
And now you got to picture this. So his life is ready to go down there. Kat said, okay, let's go. I speak to Joe every day now.
I'm sorry.
At that point, we were speaking at least three or four times a week. Mm-hmm. Joe didn't call me for 2.5 months. Right?
Just about.
It hit him that hard.
What's the time frame on this?
I was working at a nuclear power plant. They called me and said, we want you to come down. I left the nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania.
Did you quit or did you just like take a...
Did you bring the...
Just a time and place.
The job was almost over.
2011.
What is 18? About 2012. Yeah, 2012.
I'm physically...
Right,
this
wasn't up
it
yet,
was
though.
The weekend. It was 3 weeks after Irene. When was Irene? When Irene...
Come
hit.
On.
Yeah.
Always remember your first.
That's my come on, Irene. That's what I did.
Always remember your first. God, don't let that go by. Great line.
He's a handsome little sniper, isn't he?
Yeah, look at him over there.
And I swear to you, man, my life would be completely different if I just had said, oh, thank you. Yeah, no, this is where I got my comedy from and everything. What brought you here?
What brought you an airplane?
That one's rough.
I got an airplane.
Last week I could count a potato. This week I can count a fire truck.
Great. You got a good one about eating shit on stage, right?
Where can I start? How much time do we have left?
All the time in the world.
I mean, the one that rings out the most is Stand Up New York. It was a bringer show.
Stand Up New York. New York City.
Yeah,
it's a big club.
Bob DeBono show. I was doing comedy before that.
Is it DeBono or DeBuano?
I was DeBono.
Okay.
DeBuana.
DeBuano.
actually, Bub.
Big what? Oh. No, it's not going to be a fucking entertaining story. It's just I just bombed because I had some stupid ass jokes when I was a younger kid that were gay. Like they were gay jokes.
About gay people, but they're homophobic
right now.
Just for any kids listening, please.
No, but this is
gay's okay.
This was, I don't know, 9 years ago.
It was okay then.
I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. I was doing bringer shows for Christ's sake.
In Kevin's defense, he did perform at the Stand Up Against Hate Comedy Festival earlier this year. So
McDonald and Carney ran that, right?
But the headliner, I believe, was Jeff Lawrence.
Oh.
I believe.
Wow.
And
so
he's as gay as I get.
So that's why, and then I'm not 100% sure if it was Jeff Lawrence, but the headliner was a gay guy. But and a lot of the audience were of the gay persuasion.
Why did you get nervous to say gay at that point after you had said it six times?
I bombed. I made gay jokes, bombed. See, now the story's not going to be... This whole episode's going to be awful.
Why?
Segments. I bombed. No one laughed. Not only did they not laugh, they were angry. And I dropped the mic and I was like, you know what? Fuck you, motherfuckers. I'm leaving. Dropped the mic. Went to the bar right across the street.
So,
or the next block over.
So was it like a showcase, or was it just like a?
It was a bringer. It was 100% bringer.
How many did you have to bring?
I don't remember.
So five. Anybody who doesn't know stand-up comedy,
it's got to be 15.
A bringer.
The
for
bonus
Bob? Is.
Yeah.
Hold on, I got it because they don't know. They don't know these things, right? So a bringer is where a producer, a predatory producer, goes and finds younger comedians whose dream it is to do stand-up comedy. At
weird.
A well-established club, and they then ask those little comedians to bring all their friends. They charge them the door. Then they have to pay drink minimums, and so their friends are then out probably $50 a night for the night, right?
Yeah, easily.
And let's say you got to bring 10 people. Let's say you only brought 7 people. All right, Kevin, then we're going to put you up
later
at 12:30 at night, and we're going to have to cut your minutes down because we got to get you out of the club. Not a fan of bringers. Anyway, I understand it's a business proposition. Did I put you to sleep? I got angry. I got angry.
Upset me at all?
No.
Yeah, it was a rough night, and I handled it awfully. And that's actually when I stopped doing, air quotes, comedy for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That shut you down?
Yep. Shut me down.
Wow.
I won't do this with anybody else, but Kev, you have one of my favorite stories. I thought you might have brought this one up.
Bring it up, because I don't.
You swear you bombed this night at Oak Barrel, right? Across the street.
Ah, the prestigious.
You swear that you ate shit that night, but you murdered. And the problem was that the crowd loved you there, right?
Is that the night he left?
Yeah, I
have awful self-esteem. I just want to throw that out there.
The crowd was all of his friends.
You can't have awful self-esteem if you have no self-esteem.
But it was all his friends, and they were yelling out his punchlines to his jokes. But it was almost in like a Rocky Horror Picture Show kind of a way where the people just wanted to be a part of it.
You didn't explain that to me then.
We told you they were loving
you. You left, buddy. You can't tell you anything when you're across the street drinking at the Hat.
How about the night he yelled, motherfucker, on the altar at the Agape Church? And
that he did. He almost made the crucifix fall.
Yep.
But you were killing that night. That crowd loved you. They were yelling out your punchlines with you. And you were so infuriated. You texted me from across the street, and you refused to come back over and hang out with any of us.
Well, I'm a weirdo.
But you murdered. But in your head, you're like, I just ate shit. And I was like, no, dude, you murdered.
You're a lovable weirdo.
So
I'm just going to say you're lovable.
Lovable, right?
Most arguably.
I just have a weird,
likable,
self-conscious and all that shit.
What about you, big boy Bark?
The worst bomb I ever had was probably in St. Cloud, Florida.
Syria?
Too soon.
St. Cloud, Florida was a weird place.
Wait,
but I went
is
there.
Is that near Kissimmee, right?
I think so.
I think he's hitting on you.
I went down.
You can't see me.
At the time.
Oh, I like this.
He won.
We should have seen it coming.
He won.
What?
No, it was when I first started out, there was some of the comics that were doing, like, in Jacksonville, the only way to do comedy is to do, like, road work.
It's to not do comedy.
Yeah, pretty much. It has to be road work. So one of the headliners, he got road work down in St. Cloud, and he goes, hey, I'll bring you with me, you know. And so I went down there with him. And we got ourselves down there, and then literally we walk into the place, and it's a bar, and it's a dirty, dirty Florida bar, like bikers exclusively. Yeah. There's chicken wire fence up on the road because apparently one of the other acts they have is where you just throw tomatoes at people.
The double dance.
Wait, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, both kinds of music here, country and western.
It really felt a lot like that.
Wow.
So I go ahead and they're trying to figure out how they're going to set the show up. The whole bar is a bunch of, like, it's like a VFW hall pretty much. And all the people are sitting there, and you can smoke in this bar, apparently, because they have the doors open. And a guy comes up to us. He goes, all right, cool, what time you want to get started? And the whole bar is watching American Ninja Warrior or whatever it was. And so they're all enjoying the show and reacting to it. Like when a guy falls hard, they're all going, oh, or whatever. And so the guy goes, okay, we're going to get started about 3 minutes. And I'm sitting there, like, getting ready to, like, try to – I'm new at this point. I'm still trying to get my shit together. And the guy goes, okay, walks up on stage and turns the TV off from the stage, uses the remote, and people start booing the fact that the TV's just got shut off. Yes. Boo, because they were all wanting to watch American.
So it wasn't like, it wasn't like.
Yes. Well, it wasn't even a club, it was a bar, right, yeah. So.
But it wasn't like it was like a playoff game or anything like that, or like an NFL game. It was American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, it was American Ninja Warrior, probably a rerun.
They go boo when the TV's off, you're fucked.
Yeah, so they.
Could be Barnaby Jones.
They shut the TVs off, right, and the people start booing.
Barnaby Jones.
And I was like, all right, well, the host is at least going to do some time up front before I come up on stage. And the host walks up there, and as they're booming, he goes, K.P. Burke, and just brings me up to absolutely nothing. People are booing me as I'm walking up on stage.
Usually it's after you get
off stage.
Oh,
I don't get a word in. It was out of control. I don't even get a friggin' word in, and they're already against me.
Did you get any tomatoes that night?
I probably should have. Now, my favorite part of the show, though, is that as I walked off stage, there's a beer bottle up on the wall, and a guy goes to me, he goes, is that your beer? And I was like, yeah, it wasn't, but I just said, yeah. And
your
he goes,
brown bear?
And he goes,
Brown Bear Pub, West Orange, New Jersey. Thanks for having us.
He goes, can I have your beer? And I was like, I don't know why. Yeah, sure. And I tell this asshole who was heckling me earlier they can have the beer that I don't know what a beer is. And the guy starts drinking. He goes, starts spitting out on the floor. He goes, what the fuck is in that? And a guy come, like, he's screaming at me. Now he's like, why would you do? It was a dip cup.
Oh, no.
So it was a guy's dip cup. And
why would he take someone else's beer to begin with?
Well, because he was drunk out of his mind. He was Florida trash, and the guy's spitting on the floor now.
That actually makes my stomach hurt.
But he's spitting on the floor to get rid of this friggin' trash. He's spitting on the floor to get rid of the garbage in his mouth or whatever. And he goes, why would you do that? And all the bouncer saw was this guy spitting on the floor, fucking broad shoulder tackles him Lawrence Taylor style, drags him outside, beats the shit out of him. So it's the only justice I got in the entire evening is that my heckler got the shit kicked out of him because I made him drink a dip cup.
That's like an abuse story. That's not even a bomb. You didn't even do that bad. That's on everybody else.
Exactly.
I don't want you to feel bad about yourself for that one. You did
you
good.
Should.
Well,
you
I ate shit on Thursday, so there's that, too.
If you were...
But your story was like... Jars.
That
but
was Joe's and yours. Pointing
jars.
At me,
jars.
Everybody at home
jars. Yeah. Jars.
If you're listening at home, Jars is Joe.
Now, Rich, I know that you've never bombed, but have you ever had a show that maybe, I don't know, the lights weren't on your face enough or something where women didn't cry enough for you or anything?
That's a tough one, Natty, because...
I remember some kind.
Oh, no, I don't need help.
No, not like no. McDonald and Carney shows, but like just,
Oh, is that to be stand-up? Because we got a bad McDonald and Carney one.
Yeah.
So we're booked to do the beefsteak for the Morris County PBA.
God.
300 cops.
Oh.
Now, we do a lot of beefsteaks. When the cops bring their wives, fun shows.
Huh? I don't know this one.
When the cops don't bring their wives, they're horrible.
They drink
nobody
a lot.
Nobody wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
They don't want to be talked to. They don't want to engage anything.
Oh,
but that's all right.
God,
Joe and I usually do all right.
Well, so wait real quick. McDonald and Carney, are they do improv. They're an improv duo, which means that they need a lot of crowd interaction. They talk to the crowd. They need the crowd to talk back. And so if they're not actively there, then you guys are going to have a hard time.
Right. But we usually push through.
Yep.
Oh, no, so now if we ever, you guys know we do shows all the time. The person who arranged it said, hey, listen, one of the guys in the PBA, his buddy does comedy. Can he open for you?
No, no, no is the answer.
But we said.
You said, sure, he can do 5 minutes.
Sure, buddy, of course he can.
We're used to bad openers, you know what I mean? We bring Natty all over the country.
Wait, me? That was mean how you did that.
We don't bring him.
No, and we're done with that.
So you keep saying country. Just admit that it's county, Rich.
Yes,
all right?
we bring Essex Natty County everywhere from here to Vermont.
There's an R in there.
So, anywho, we get there. I bring my sound as a backup, but they say they have sound.
Uh-huh.
So I only bring two speakers. We try to hook up their sound. Doesn't work. Now, it's a huge catering hall.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 300 people. But they put the tables far away from the stage.
Oh, they leave a dance floor?
That's always better. With a huge dance floor in the
middle.
Six tables to the right, six tables to the left. Mm-hmm. The furthest tables are about 100 yards away from where we are. Mm-hmm. The sound doesn't work. So we run out. Our host tries to get on stage, and no one outside of 10 feet from the stage can hear him. So everyone just starts talking.
Yeah.
This very inexperienced comic, in quotes, then starts to proceed to scream, shut the fuck up. You got to listen to me. Shut up, shut up, shut up.
You don't have to say who it is, but male or female?
Male.
That's a male.
It's a male. All right.
Definitely male.
Have you ever dealt with him in any other capacity?
Yes. Okay. I've seen him at a couple open mics.
So we know this person.
Yeah, if I say the name, you'll know.
I did a show recently where a guy did that. He broke for the crowd.
You know I'm talking a story. I'm telling a story
I know, but
now.
He's the same thing, but I've seen people. It's terrible when they do that. You turn the crowd.
I know.
You turn the crowd.
I know. That's a part of my story that I was trying to tell you.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Anywho, crowd is turned. 300 drunken cops don't want to listen to us. Before we even get on, the establishment runs out of beef.
Yep.
It's a beef steak.
Out of beef steak.
No, like real early too, right?
So imagine 300 cops, half the tables are told they're not going to get beef. They've been drinking draft beer by the pitcher.
He's not explaining to the point of how everybody. Now you've been to beef steaks, right, bud?
Yeah.
We've all been to them.
Yeah.
Each table had two trays of beef. That's all they got.
Some tables didn't even get theirs.
Some tables didn't even get theirs.
Oh, they fucked up.
So then by the time we get on, it's anarchy. They're screaming. We tried to work the crowd, and it got ugly. So after, 12 minutes, I said to Joe, we are done. And we walked off.
You just cut it and walked?
Cut it and walked. They didn't even know we cut it and walked, though. That's how bad it was.
There was...
What game did you start with? Did you start off with...
We never got to a game, Natty.
You just did your pattern?
We were literally trying to go table to table to engage people.
Cock brownies?
Yeah, they were like, no. We're like, all right, well, where you guys... No. We just want it. No.
I want my fucking beef. I want steak.
And they started chanting for beef.
really?
It was awful.
Chanting.
Beef. Beef. Beef.
So that's probably the worst.
So what you're saying is that cops are pigs, is what you're telling me, right?
They can be if you don't feed them.
There was a table that, remember, brother, they stared at us and we went over there and were like, what's up? They're like, get the fuck away from us.
If you don't have meat, we're not talking to you.
Really?
Yeah. These people paid like $75 a head.
Yeah. And it was a nice place.
Yeah.
Real nice, yeah.
It was fancy. It was up in Mountain Lakes. It was a fancy place. They didn't have enough beef.
That's terrible.
Nat, do you ever bomb?
No, I've never bombed ever in my entire life. Oh, wait. Hey, guys. Kevin came back. Hey, Kevin.
KJG.
So you missed.
I mean, you don't have to let people know that I wasn't here.
Well, but you were quiet for so long. We missed you.
He already pissed off Rich. He could piss you off.
I did. I cut his story off.
Yeah. Terribly.
So here's the thing, guys. My worst story, and luckily it includes two people at this table so they can corroborate this. Was in Vermont.
All right.
Was
you tell the story. We're not going to interrupt.
Was at Joe's cousin has a hotel in Vermont, and every year up until this show, They would have Rich and Joe up, and Rich and Joe would bring their funny friends up, and they brought Lucidi 1 year, and it went wonderfully.
They loved Adam.
And
then brought him twice.
They brought me up, and it was the first long trip, I think, that we had taken together, or was the thumbs up the improv cop?
No, I believe Memory Lane one. Was the first trip you guys ever was the longest trip you guys ever took.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh, my God.
First shot fired by Kevin Garifo.
Holy shit.
Wow, he came back for that. So
you invited me.
I remember we stopped at McDonald's on the way up, and I think I set the table pretty well because you guys all got like two hamburgers, and I got like a McFlurry, which is very, very good. But so we rode up there, and we were like busting chops, and we're kind of getting to know each other, and we're like hanging out, and this is going to be a
Kevin
great
Israel
night.
Was with us.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Kevin Israel was there.
You had sex with him.
Bing. And so we get there, and it's a great hotel, a great area. And the room where the show was going to be, I mean, it was at a stage. How many chairs were in there?
I don't know. 150? 100? Yeah, a little more.
And
a renovated bar, a redone barn, right?
Yeah, turned into a so theater. Gorgeous. Yeah. And like the, barn, right behind theater. You, there's all just glass, just windows, so you can look out into the trees. So then we had dinner beforehand with Joe's family. Joe's whole family was there, probably 20 people, and they're just ordering all this food, all this food, all this food. That was my first mistake because I don't like to eat food before I go on stage, especially not a big heavy meal because it kind of freaks me out. But then after we had dinner, we went over to the show, mm-hmm. and where the crowd was a packed room. Everybody, a lot of people from the restaurant had come over, it was my time to shine.
Rich and I have a tradition: we do a shot of whiskey before we go on stage, and Natty wanted
like
in,
men. And I was like, I could do Maker's that too, mark. Guys. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a shot; it was a half of a pitcher full. It was way too much alcohol for any one human being to have. So I drank it, and then what happened?
Then it burns. You went outside and started licking the snow.
Yeah, it was too much.
I can't go out. I can't go out. Oh, my God.
I started running around in circles. I was like, my biscuits are burning. How do I put this fire out?
He ran outside, and he's throwing snow in his mouth.
Oh, what was that? What was that? Was that Satan's fire?
And so
it
then
was
Maker's Mark. I come back inside, and I went and got a Coke from the bartender, and I was standing with Rich and
Joe. I never bring a drink up there. I never bring a drink.
Joe's like, you got to go on stage. He's like, just bring the drink.
Yeah.
I said, just bring it. Be just like Dean
just
Martin.
Bring it up
man.
There.
Just like Dean Martin. You'll have a drink up there just like Dean Martin.
No, but so then I walk up there, and I put my drink, my Coke, on a pitcher, on a stool, and I get up. And Joe's standing next to Kevin Israel. Sorry. And what did you?
You proceeded to.
No. What did you say to him?
No. He says to me after you knock it over.
Oh, you were talking about he's just like Dean Martin.
You had a drink up there. Just
but
use
so
it like
then so then yeah and so
you
then
eat
I,
dick and drop it and he I, whispers in my ear.
Well, yeah. Hold on. So I'm up there and my immediate thing that I do is I go, "What's up, you bunch of vermins?" Hey, Vermins, because
you're
I thought
from Vermont.
That,
what do they call you, Vermont?
I
Vermins?
Said, you're from Vermont. What do they call you guys, Vermins?
Which
and I didn't realize that I was saying vermin over and over and over.
Which way does
the line didn't work, so we said it 41 more times.
When you guys flush your toilet, does it go this way or that way, you vermin?
I forgot about
are you guys
that.
Vermin?
Are we so far north that it's like Australia? And then I spun around.
Because you couldn't find your notebook in your back.
No. I spun around and I hit the stool, which knocked my drink all over the stage, a full Coke, and I didn't know what to do. And I screamed to the back, "Can I get a little help with some towels?" And the bartender said, "Should I help him?" And one of you said,
"Nope.
Nope. Nope."
Guess who that was?
I'm going to guess it was that guy over there. It was Joe Carney. Nope. And then I was so freaked out by the puddle on the stage, and I was flustered trying to fix that, and then I didn't know what to do, and so my mind went blank, and I went to go to my notes, and then I couldn't find my notes, and I was wandering around the stage, around the puddle, and I said, I don't know where my notebook went. I don't know where, does anyone know where my notebook went?
It was sticking out of his back pocket.
It was in my back
Kevin
pocket.
Is, when he knocked over that drink, Kevin Israel whispers to me, just like Dean Martin.
Yeah. And then I proceeded to go to the bar. It was an open bar for us, and they had some kind of crazy alcohol. What was it?
Beer.
No, no. It was
Aquavit.
Aquavit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they would say, what they say, skull every time. And I drank and then I got lost later on in the hotel.
In the ski shop.
That's the last place I saw you.
Yeah. And
at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
Which leads to nothing.
Kevin, KP, do you remember the movie Behind the Pines?
No.
A place beyond the pines.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right?
There you go.
Okay.
A place beyond the pines.
Words.
The true story. The cops who were involved in it were there. At this show.
Okay.
So it was like this big, it was a crazy, crazy night.
Well, this is the same place, too, that nobody wants to believe this, but Joe Carney's a big, tall guy. He's a tough-looking dude. So the fact that you refused to sleep in the room at that hotel because there was a rocking chair in that haunted hotel.
Where did I sleep?
You slept on your parents' floor. Now, the worst part of this is you told me you were coming right back.
That's right, kid.
You said you were coming right back because you left me in that bar
by
myself. I sat there.
You saw me walk by with my pillow. Where are you going? I was like, I got to bring this up to my mom.
Yeah, yeah. But if you just told me you weren't coming back, I would have gone to the room because I was staying with Adam at the time.
Sorry.
Adam brought his dog.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So it was me, Adam, and the dog. And then apparently at one point, Muttley actually snored louder than me, Adam said.
Wow.
We were hammer drunk, and I'm sitting there waiting for Carney to come back. And all of a sudden I start like, and it's a creepy kind of hotel, right? So the hotel bar thing. You're sitting there, there's like a bunch of animal heads mounted on the wall and shit. And then I'm just sitting there, and I'm drunk, and it's quiet. There's no music playing or anything.
I can't believe I did it. I'm just sitting there like,
this is pretty much,
how I die.
The overlook. Yeah.
You know what that hotel is haunted by? My career.
Buddy.
And then I had to ride home.
Your career was never there.
Oh. I had to ride home with Rich and Joe and Kevin. Kevin, who proceeded to say that he had...
Comedy is subjective, he kept telling you. It's okay. You didn't do as bad as you thought.
But that's not what you said. You said much meaner
what
things.
What did I say?
So we're
never again.
You can tell that Natty was upset, and it's a 4-hour ride, and we're busting each other's chops the whole ride, and we're trying to forget it. And every time there'd be like a silence for maybe 2-3 minutes, Joe would go, "Natty, I just want you to understand that in no uncertain terms how bad you did."
It was the worst. It was the worst. Like I wanted to. I never wanted to see you guys ago. Oh no! But really, like I was the saddest I've ever been. Like that was the worst show I've ever had.
Joe wrote him for 4 hours.
I find it hard to believe that in 30 years of you doing stand-up comedy,
and then Ted parked and drove over your lawn.
Son of a.
I forgot about that.
Go ahead, KP. In the what?
Oh no! I just with Bumper Car, I think we can all kind of agree that when he murders, it's so magical.
Beyond anything you could have met.
Yeah, well, that was a March Madness down at Stress Factory. He grinded Shane Gillis to a halt.
Bing.
Yeah. No, Shane Gillis in a year might be a name worth dinging, but he was like the hot shit comic out of Philly area, and he's a super great guy. He's very funny. But Bumper Car grinded him to a fucking halt. We're doing a setup again for the ring? All right. Hey, guys, we're going to hear a bell in a second. Shane Gillis. That's how you take it from.
He's a good guy.
He's a very good guy. But I know we're wrapping up here, too. So, but Bumper Car grinded him to a halt on a 3-minute head-to-head competition down at Stress Factory. And the judges were split, so they made him each do another joke. And
at the end, they called. They were like, "What do you guys want us to do?" And it was
give us Barabbas.
So Bumper Car goes, "Wait, New Testament, that shit, baby. Oh, yeah." So friggin' Bumper Car and him have to do a joke off. So they both do a joke each. And
it's the biggest joke off I know.
There ain't no bigger joke off than Natty Bumper Car. Hey.
So they both do their head-to-head competition, if you will. And then you guys went to another round after that, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you were split on that one. And then they made you do another joke. But then Jeff McManus was hosting it at the time, and he goes,
he doesn't get a bell.
Sorry, Jeff.
I don't know the fuck you're talking about.
But so he goes to do they have to do it the third round of this joke, and it's hilarious because the comics aren't allowed to judge it. It's the waitresses and the other people at the club in the back that are judging it. And the women there loved Bumper Car.
How could you not? Look at his face.
So you're seeing Shane Gillis. He's talking about it. He's like, yeah, you know, like, it's like he's doing, like, gross jokes about, like, his penis not being big enough to satisfy his girlfriend. And then Bumper Car's like, you ever invite a penguin inside? And he comes inside because I told him, I was like, you could be the best man at my wedding because you already have the suit. Is that in January? You ever invite a snowman inside?
Not Mickey Mouse.
Do we not see him as Mickey Mouse? Is that what you're telling me? But anyway, the point is that Bumper Car grinds the thing into a halt and absolutely ties him, and it was beautiful to watch. You guys got invited back. You had to go back the next week to try making you guys face each other again, right?
That's how it timed out. It worked out that way.
Did they give you $50?
No.
I'm just trying to make this interesting.
Hey, yo! Speaking of interesting, does anybody have any plugs they want
to
give?
Trying to talk up Bumper Car. Port Comedy Festival down at Asbury Park. I'm going to be hosting that with Brian O'Halloran.
Hold on, Simba.
There it is. These other guys have stuff, too.
We've all established.
I'll be putting in the plumbing work at the American Dream in the Meadowlands, the indoor water park / amusement park.
Guys, this show is my American
Dream. This is the American Dream.
Kevin Grifo, Shining Wizards.
Shining Wizards podcast, of course, obviously. And then, of course, at Kevin Grifo on Twitter, at Shining Wizards Kevin on Instagram. And that's it.
I forgot. I have a podcast, too.
What's it called?
Bumper.
It's called the Bumper Podcast.
It's called Dumb Fellas. It's great. You guys should listen to it.
If you want to keep your kids busy, refer them to the Bumper Podcast.
With 320 episodes in.
This is super cool. We all have our separate platforms.
Yet it took you three episodes to mention it.
I forget things.
Joe's just going to do that.
Oh, you're going to step on it.
I was going to actually...
He's going to pick me up.
Build us up. We all have our separate platforms, and all of us coming together on this show is what it's all about, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And keep with it, Dumb Fellas, all the social medias. If it's not already out there, it's going to be out there way more. So keep listening.
Yeah. McDonald and Carney.
Thank you very much.
You guys good?
Thank you.
McDonald and Carney. We'll see you guys next time.
Whoop,
Dumb
whoop,
Fellas.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
The Dumb Fellas Podcast is a production of Garden State Comedy. Find us on Twitter at Dumb Fellas Pod or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/dumbfellas. The Dumb Fellas are Big Rich from Jersey at MCD_Carney, KP Burke at KP Burke Sucks, Natty Bumper Car at Natty Bumper Car, Kevin Joseph Garifo at Kevin Garifo, and Joe Carney at Dumb Kid Joe. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share.